Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500. Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Today's cool fact of the day is that cholesterol, when you get the right amount of it, is essential for all animal life. It's just a type of lipid, also known as a fat, that performs essential functions like making the outer coating of your cells. It makes up the bile acids that work so you can digest food in your intestine. And your cholesterol allows your body to make vitamin D and things like testosterone and estrogen and progesterone. So cutting cholesterol out of your life and getting your levels really, really low actually makes you weak, not strong. And that's just not cool.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at leelaq.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Today's guest is a friend, a guy I've known for a long time, and a guy you've probably seen talked about recently. I think a former guest, in fact, I know he's been a guest on the show. He's come up to my house a few times, hung out at his house a few times. He's a TV personality star because he just starred on ABC's My Diet is Better Than Yours, a speaker at the Bulletproof Conference, and just an all-around awesome dude. I'm talking about none other than Abel James. Abel, welcome to the show.
Dave, thanks so much for having me, man.
So you just came out with a book called The Wild Diet, which is pretty cool. And I think you hit number one on Amazon, which is neat.
Yeah, and New York Times bestseller too, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, you did hit the New York Times list.
Yeah.
Sweet. Where'd you end up on the list?
I don't even know. I just got it sent over today. So it was basically the way that the sausage is made when it comes down to book rankings is absolutely fascinating because I focused on Amazon for the majority of the time, but when the ABC show originally aired and my guy lost 16 pounds, number one the first week, just crushing it, it sold out on Amazon. So it's been sold out for like pretty much the past month.
So the TV show helps.
Finally back in.
It's kind of funny because I know the Bulletproof the Cookbook just came out and it sold like two or three times what one of the Kardashian sisters sold, and she made the list and I didn't. I'm like, I was robbed. But then again, it's a cookbook, you know, and the first
book. And then again, you're not a Kardashian, Dave.
I've been getting a bigger butt lately, but it just, I can't keep up, man. It's really hard.
Biohack, so, baby.
I was hoping to get some tips from you. No. But the reason you're on, though, is I wanted to get you right before, I think right before the show's finale is even out, right?
The show is done filming and the finale is out, but man, you're hitting the top of the buzz right now.
A lot of people and we're going to push the show out really fast because what you did was something I actually thought about. I always wanted to go on like The Biggest Loser and just be like, I'm the boringest loser. Because like all you do is you're like, right. Well, like sit on the couch. Like you're like there's very little suffering. And you go out there, you actually did use the butter in coffee idea. And you basically...
And the soap dish.
And the soap dish for travel. Sweet.
That's right.
I didn't see the soap dish one, but like these are classic bulletproof things, right? And kudos to you for you know making it work, right? And everything else you did was you know eat lots of good fat and I don't know, you could walk people through exactly all the things you did. But what I want to say is badass. And what I always want to do was like you beat all the other like random like some of the diets you were competing against were like okay not very interesting. But dude, you kicked everyone's ass. How many pounds did your guy lose in what amount of time?
Yeah. So, it was 14 weeks and he lost a total of 87 pounds. But most importantly, he went from 52% body fat to less than 30% body fat. So basically double the fat loss of other plans on the show. And so for Fat Burning Man, I had to live up to my name, right?
Yeah. And so what did you do to cause this?
Well, okay, so basically, if people haven't seen the show, a lot of people have seen The Biggest Loser. Yeah. It's not quite like
no,
that.
No, not at
because
all.
Because you're not, I mean, that's still reality television, which reality television is a misnomer in and of itself. It has an unreliable narrator, I like to say.
Right, right.
But the setup of the show is completely different. So it's not like a weight loss camp. You're not starving yourself and hungry and miserable, or at least you're not necessarily doing that. Depends on the plan you're on. What this is they take five people out of Atlanta who have about 100 pounds or so to lose, and they set them up with celebrity trainers and coaches. And basically, the twist of the show is that they work one-on-one, but if the person who's being coached, if number one, it's not working, if their diet nutrition plan isn't working, or they don't like it, or they don't like their trainer, they can eliminate them from the show at any time. So it's kind of a unique way to set the show up. It's hosted by my buddy Sean T, which is an absolute blast. And hopefully, you know, I think what people are taking away from it is that it's a bit more inspirational than some of the other shows that basically say, you must be hungry and miserable.
Because
basically, I wanted to go on to that show to show people that they could eat butter, bacon, chocolate, cheesecake, delicious things, and still get incredible results, especially with minimal exercise. And that was the part that I was especially
that's the big thing. You're like Biggest Loser. You're the Biggest Loser because you're exercising all the time instead of looking at what you put in your mouth, right? Like I don't know, there's one episode where there's a guy like chasing a potato chip and you're like this is so broken because it doesn't matter if you chased it. If you eat it, you lose, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so there isn't nearly as much sabotage on this show, which is really cool to see. But a little bit about my guy. Basically, when we first started, he was at 352 pounds. And more importantly, people might not have seen the whole background of the show, but so he was in a head-on car accident years ago, almost a decade ago, which broke his neck.
Oh.
And after that happened, he had to have a plate put in, and he had a bunch of other different injuries. But over the course of the next few years, he was getting sicker and sicker, and no one really knew why. They eventually found out that there was staph in that original plate that they put in. It was manifesting itself throughout his body. He got septic. He had a blood clot in his lung.
Oh man!
And ultimately, he was hospitalized for about 13 months. And one of the most crushing things for him about it is that his he's a grandparent. He's the oldest guy in the show, 47 years old, and he missed his grandchild being born because he was so sick. He was in the hospital, and so taking him back out of that to something that resembles health was a huge journey for him. And I think really, really inspiring for a lot of people because it's not like he had the option of being a cardio bunny. In fact, the whole show, a lot of people don't know this, he had a stress fracture in his knee. So really wasn't able, like running wasn't an option. as a form of training. So it was basically just going out there and walking with his grandchildren with a stroller up the hills behind his house, walking with his wife, and doing some amount of strength-based training to make sure that he maintained muscle while he was losing fat, because that's really the most critical thing you want to do when you're talking about health anyway.
So where does one get a full-body bacon costume, Abel? Because you opened the show wearing that, which is over the top. Like, I love you, man. Like, you're the funniest guy. But like where did you find that? Etsy? Like where did you go for such a thing?
I think it was $20 on Amazon. It was something. Yeah. It's it really wasn't that hard to find. But true story, first time I ever saw myself on television, I was wearing a full body bacon costume. It was like when right before New Year's, they were playing a bunch of promos for the show. We don't even have a TV. So we were at a hotel and I was watching it. And I was like, my Lord, this is happening. Because we don't actually, as the people who are on the show, you don't see the cuts until they're actually
They can trash you. They can do whatever they want with the cuts. So did you think the cuts were fair?
You know what? I'll tell you this, that when you're filming 12 hours a day for like 7 weeks on end, when they're putting you in these tiny little pens and you don't always have ready access to food and water or an escape plan or anything else, it's difficult to not look like a raving lunatic by the end of the day. Cause they're filming for 12 hours, but they're only showing this tiny little bit. And it's usually you at your worst when you've been through a lot of different stuff. And I think for the most part, I tried to, just put my Captain America pants on like I do with Fat Burning Man, right? Like, you know me personally. Oh, yeah. If I'm not talking to thousands of people, a lot of times my language will be a little bit more colorful. I might see some things that might not be totally PC. But for the most part, being on reality TV, knowing that there was a bullseye on my head the whole time, I was doing my very best to keep things positive, to use it as an opportunity to really show people that you can get results. You don't have to give up your favorite foods. You don't have to turn into a cardio bunny. You don't have to do all this ridiculous stuff that the industry says that you have to do. I just wanted to show people that you can have fun and take it seriously, even though it's a silly reality competition.
It is kind of a reality competition, but I've lost 100 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Your guy lost 87 pounds. He's probably lost the other 13 or whatever, the other 60 he needs to lose because he already knows what it feels like to eat. You're like, oh, it's not hard to lose weight when you're eating right. And so it is life and death. And it is whether he sees his grandkids for another 20 years or not. It's actually really serious, but at the same time, it's entertainment. There are people who take it too seriously. And then there are people who are like opportunistic and flippant and honestly, I got to point out the Biggest Loser kind of stuff where you're sort of making a mockery out of something that's actually important. And like seeing fat people crawl after Twinkies, it's sad on a spiritual level, right? I appreciate that you didn't go there. And I don't think I didn't watch all of the episodes because, I don't really have TV. I have an iPad, so it's not like you can't get to it. But
yeah.
It's one of those things where none of the stuff I saw went in that direction. Like there wasn't a lot of the guilt and shaming. So kudos to you and the producers and whoever was doing all your editing to do the My Diet's Better Than Yours, but actually My Behavior is Better Than Other Diet Shows Too could have been the subtitle. So
yeah, I'm happy that it turned out relatively positive. Of course, there were lots of dramatic things that happened. It is reality.
I can't believe you threw cheesecake at the vegan, dude. That was rude. No. I didn't even. Cheesecake,
man. It's a part of the plan. That's the only reason Kurt chose my plan, because he got to eat cheesecake.
So he actually chose your plan for that reason?
Yeah, that's literally the reason he told me that he chose my plan. Because look at what I'm going up against, right? You've got my half baked, ridiculous looking plan where you get to eat butter, bacon, chocolate, cheesecake, and all these other high fat things and lose fat at the same time with minimal exercise. Sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Not actually crazy when you look
at it. Sort of works.
You're comparing that to a vegan program where basically there's no solid food for the first week. You are drinking your dinner, you're drinking your breakfast, you're drinking everything. And, for someone like Kurt, he's like an all-American guy, 47-year-old salesman out of Atlanta, works out of his car. That dude is not a vegan.
Yeah, it's just never going to happen. Right.
It works. You want to meet people where they are, because I think a lot of people, they think that they need to give up all of their favorite things if they want to be successful, if they want to have great mental performance, if they want to be able to become more resilient as people, withstand intermittent fasting, withstand high pressure scenarios, and still keep your wits about you. And I think one of the reasons that you see Kurt and myself on the show not really losing our minds is because we're running on fat the entire time. We're not getting cranky. We're feeling focused. We're feeling positive. And that's what happens when you start using the right fuel.
It's almost not fair. I can't imagine being a sales guy and going into a meeting and you're like, okay, do I want to disarm my target, the guys I'm selling to? Like, I'm just going to feed them like a low fat, high gluten MSG lunch and sit them in a sales meeting for 2 hours. But at the end of the meeting, they'll be like, oh, I'll just sign. And meanwhile, you've had all the fat and you're like, yes, I'm ready to go. We're going to kill. And you literally can manipulate other people's energy the same as you can yours with it. And I would not want to go back to the way I was when I was doing the, you know, 5 or 6 right. meals a day. I'm fat, but I'm going to use my willpower every day because I was a dick all the time.
No way, Dave.
I mean, but you know me pretty well now, and I'm not like that. Yeah. But literally, my ability right. to regulate my emotions, I had like carpal tunnel in my middle fingers. I tell you, like I had road rage, mm-hmm. all this stuff. And so I totally know what you're saying, like really viscerally. You're like, okay, you're on a set, which is one of the worst times. That's why this high fat thing is just taking over Hollywood, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's because they're on camera for 12 hours a day and because they have to remember their lines and you have to be conscious of where your body is. And I don't think you can do it on vegan crackers. And maybe a few people can. They have more willpower than I do and they're wasting it. They should know better.
Right. Well, I can tell you that you get stamina when you start burning fat as your main fuel. It's fantastic. I've been a musician for a long time. A lot of times you don't have access to food all the time, but if you're burning sugar as your main source of energy and you don't have anything around you, you settle for terrible foods. And then it's just this hamster wheel that you have to keep being on. You have to either kill yourself in the gym or you have to kind of put up with this lull in energy every day whenever food's not around you. Giving that up is one of the best things you could possibly do. So it was for someone, you know, like Kurt, who's just an average dude out of Atlanta. He's never heard of any of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for you and I and a lot of the listeners, we've been in our corner of the internet for a long period of time talking about this. We know it works. We know that there are a lot of mental and performance benefits. For Kurt, though, you know, the look on his face when Allison and I walked into his kitchen for the first time telling him to eat more butter and, you know, focus on fat. It's ridiculous. His wife and he thought that we were kind of nuts at the beginning, but then when you feel the difference
up here in your own head.
Energy levels, when you lose 16 pounds in the first week and then you win the fitness competition, he actually won the fitness competition too. Oldest dude. I mean, just dominated, never won anything in his life. It's something that I love seeing light people up for the first time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when you see that person first go bulletproof where they first switch to eating the right foods. And they experience that. It's just such a pleasure because they're like, man, I'm never going back.
Sean, I don't know Sean T, but you introduced me to him and he seemed like a really cool guy. He texted me right away. I sent some, brain octane and some bulletproof beans and all that stuff his way. But what was it like working with him? Cause like he's kind of a big name in fitness.
He is secretly one of the best bro huggers around, but probably one of the best on earth.
Really?
You know, I was so impressed with how present he was, not in the way that I was expecting. Like you expect the insanity guy to be up and in your face and be super intense and being deeper.
We turned interval training upside down. We just kick your ass all the time and you'll like it. Right. I hear you.
But you know what? When we started hanging out, I was just so amazed by how open he is, how passionate he is. Yeah. And most importantly, how sensitive he is. He's very in tune with people's struggles. He's been there himself. I didn't realize this, but when he was in college, he put on 50 pounds.
Wow.
And he does his best to deeply understand other people's struggles. And working with him was just a blast because we got to be really good friends by the end of it. His husband, Scott, is also a fantastic dude. So they're inspiring figures, not necessarily from the same part of the fitness and health world as we are, right? Like most of the time we're saying, okay, if you want to be a fitness junkie, that's great. And you can have a lot of fun doing it, but it's not necessary for a lot of this stuff. And it might seem like a contrarian point of view than someone like Sean T. You know, he's a lot of times talking about intense exercise, but I think where we meet in the middle is finding that joy in whatever you're doing. And for him, you know, his background is as a performer and a dancer. And so he brings that to the exercise world. And I think it's very similar to, you know, what I experience when I play music or when I sing. It's something where you're in the zone and you can tell that he's really, throughout the whole competition, throughout the whole TV show, he's there for people and he's coaching them through some really tough moments, some of the hardest moments in their entire lives. I mean, when you're getting half naked in front of America weighing in on a scale every single week, it does crazy things to your brain. And he was there the whole time just propping everyone up. It's awesome to see.
That's really cool. So that's part of what made the show special, which I was so glad to have the antidote to The Biggest Loser. That show has always just made me sad. And some of the guilting things, that like everyone who's fat feels this a sense of failure. I mean, even if you're like, I'm happy with my body image. No, actually, you might have like come to terms with it, but you're not as happy as you would be if you had all the energy you could have. Because if you're fat, you have an energy storage problem, which means you have an energy metabolism problem, which means you don't have all the energy you could have. And like, sorry, that's just how it is. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you don't have willpower, but it means there's a problem. And to use the power of TV to point people in the wrong direction and to shame them versus what I think you did, which was very different. And I'd never seen that on TV before. So I just want to say thanks to you. Thanks to Sean for shedding a little bit of sanity on what was going on there, because 15 years of that other crap, it was time that someone did it right. So things
are changing, man. Things are getting better. And Sean T, I had him put butter in his coffee and he likes it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's got the brain knocked in and hopefully at home by now. I got to follow up with him. Thanks for that intro.
Awesome.
And you know, we're going to get a lot more people eating this, and I fully expect there to be shortages of quality food. And you know what? If you're if you're listening to this and you're at Kraft Foods or you're at McDonald's or Campbell's or Monsanto, like, dude, we've got your number. and your number is.
I've heard that there are shortages of Kerrygold.
Oh yeah,
people have told me that they're running low on a lot of the things that you and I both recommend.
Absolutely.
It's awesome to see that.
Yeah, in fact, why is Kerrygold $3 a stick? Like, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It should be like $4 or $5 a stick, because it's better than other butter, and it's like it's artificially cheap compared to what it does for you on a cost per calorie basis. It's still like if you're panhandling and you get $3.29, you go to Trader Joe's and you can pick up a stick of Kerrygold. You've got enough calories to last you for like 3 days.
That's a very good point.
Like it's just too cheap. But anyway. I'm getting on my I would say my soapbox, but it's more of a butter box, to be honest.
It's a butter box, yeah. Amazingly, you're able to stand on perfectly straight the whole time. Must be all the biohacking.
Yeah, I'm levitating on the butter. Now, it's one thing to lose a bunch of weight, but you guys tracked biomarkers, right? Was this part of the show? Was that part of the show or part of what you did?
Yeah, so there was a team of doctors who were, they were looking at every contestant throughout the whole time to make sure that their liver enzymes were okay, to make sure that their blood work looked okay, because this is pretty stressful on the body, especially when you're looking at some of these plans, which are kind of pretty intense, right? Like when you're taking someone who's never done anything close to juicing, you're getting them to juice and do intense exercise at the same time. Sometimes it can drive everyone's biomarkers crazy, right? Yeah. Especially if you're coming from a place of medical condition, sickness, what have you. So yeah, throughout the entire time we were working with a doctor, measuring that, also measuring body fat. The competition itself basically used The Biggest Loser weight loss percentage of body weight. That's how they ranked people, and they ranked them every week, not overall. So there are a lot of little nitpicky things, but one of the things that I thought was very promising is that they, at least they're talking about body fat as something that matters. They're also talking about blood sugar on the show going up or going down with different plans. So you see someone who eats a plan that has a lot of fruit in it, especially in the morning, he gets pre-diabetic on one of the episodes. You know, we're staying away from fruit. His blood, my guy's blood sugar regulates right away. Yeah. His blood pressure regulates right away. He went from being on about a half dozen different prescription medications to by week three, he was off every single one of them, didn't need them anymore. And that was purely by how he was eating, and basically walking was his exercise with a little bit of functional strength.
Wow. And how many hours a week was he exercising?
You know, when you're looking at the strength-based stuff, it was literally minutes. Okay. And whatever you see in this fitness competitions, that was basically all for TV or whatever, but he was kind of getting workout for that too. And then when it comes to walking, I hesitate to call that a workout.
It's not a workout,
but it was
right.
Basically like that's something he has to do every day. 30 minutes to 60 minutes was generally the clip. And he couldn't do it every day because one of the other things is they're working their jobs, you know, while we're filming, they're living at home. They're not on some camp like some of the other shows, like The Biggest Loser, right? They don't have unlimited time to work out or whatever. So that was another big part of it. And then the most promising thing was some of the other contestants, they were doing two a days, right? We had J-Lo's trainer and 50 Cent's trainer, Jay Cardiello, on the show, and he was doing two a days with Jeff, and they were doing really intense exercise, a lot of it. And then Kurt and I were eating cheesecake when you were going out for bacon cheeseburgers. We're not really exercising all that much at all, and we're dominating. And so one of the biggest things that I was proud of is that we dominated more than anyone else in the body fat. We took Kurt from more than 52% body fat at the beginning to less than 30% body fat. And that was just such a massive difference between that and the other plans, which in a lot of cases focused on portion control and cardio as some aspect of the program. And so you can see that translate to muscle loss, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you.
Did you count calories at all?
No. So at the beginning, if I had to,
I'm sorry. Love that, right? It's just like porn. I'm sorry. It's where you're like, this is just too good.
But at the same time, okay. So at the beginning, when I got started with Kurt, I didn't want him to count anything. I wanted him to eat basically as much as he wanted. At the same time, you know, it's a weight loss competition. Yeah. He knows that he's going to have to eat less than he otherwise was before all this. And everyone obviously was doing that. But I would estimate it was probably 2,000, maybe 3,000 calories a day. Quite a bit of fat at the beginning to get him fat adapted. In the first couple of weeks, that's what we did. And then over the course of time, once he became fat adapted, his relationship with hunger changed. All of a sudden, it wasn't ruling him. And so that's when we started focusing on intermittent fasting, especially in the morning.
Yep.
And so I dialed the fats down a little bit. We dialed the portion control, especially we were always looking at protein to make sure that that didn't go too high, because as you know, that could wind up as being sugar in the blood, bad breath. A lot of bad things can happen when you overeat protein. So we wanted to keep that to basically just to a portion that would give him good energy, and also combine it with, he got his veggies every day. Yep. He got plenty of fiber. He got bone broth every single day too, with being the oldest guy in the competition, very powerful for getting it back in action. And then, so the intermittent fasting combined with the very nutrient dense food and the lack of sugars allowed him to become fat adapted. And then at that point, eating to the point when he was no longer hungry became easier and easier for him. And he's, you know, one of the things he said to me over and over again, it's just like, I can't believe how much I fill up on this food. You know, originally he thought it was going to be really expensive. He told me yesterday, he saves $300 a month on his grocery bill now because he eats so much, not necessarily less food volume, but less, you know, like random foods that you're reaching for all the time and eating. It saves a lot of money, especially when you're not buying any of that processed junk.
Well, if you walk down the aisle and you see those big bags of air, like popcorn, pre-popped popcorn. There's so little calories and so much air in those foods. You eat it, you're going to be instantly hungry after you eat them.
Yeah.
And yet they're like five, I don't even know how much half that stuff is. I haven't eaten it in years. But you walk down that aisle, there's a whole aisle of stuff that's like almost no calories and a ton of money. And it's the most profitable food for big food to manufacture. And they're just kryptonite for anyone who eats them. And I don't.
And they make you more hungry when you eat them.
it's
the best business model ever.
I know. I keep wanting to engineer something that makes people starving as soon as they eat it. I'm like, oh wait, they have that. It's called Diet Coke. Like, why do I need to engineer it? I can just buy shares, right?
Don't do it, Dave.
So now your book is doing well. The Wild Diet's doing well. You've got people doing, like, you and I are in such philosophical agreement on the nutrition front. And on the exercise front, right? You know, high intensity, very occasional stuff. And actually, I was going to say, what's next? But the thing we didn't talk about is you also released Swamp Things. I met Denny through you, and like you actually recorded like with some badass recording artists as well. So how's that going along? And let's talk about what's next.
Yeah, of course. So Swamp Thing is the name of an album I did with Denny Hemmingsen, who was Tim McGraw's band leader and steel guitarist, just incredibly talented guy. And so I met him because he was actually a listener of my show, and he lost around 50 pounds a few years ago. So we just kept in touch and we started jamming a little bit because, you know, I've been a musician for a while, but then I kind of hung that at least my touring hat up when I started doing Fat Burning Man and my podcasting and stuff. It kind of like fulfills a similar need in a lot of ways to perform and to be there and be present. And so, but then I decided, as you know, to take a bit of a sabbatical. We've been traveling around the world for the past year, living in the woods, doing weird stuff. And part of that was really finding the muse again. And so I dusted off my saxophone, played some New Orleans style funk, started singing like Sly Stone and doing some screaming tunes too. And basically we joined up with a lot of the guys from Tim McGraw's touring band, Billy, the keyboard player. We also have Dino, who plays the fiddle and guitar, and we wrote some songs together, and it was an absolute blast just recording that whole project, because we did it for no apparent reason. And a lot of people, especially who, you know, are in the industry, or they're performers or they're actors, or a lot of the high performing people who listen to the show, a lot of times you don't just get to do something because it seems like fun anymore, right? And so this project was just, you know, they're working really hard on, in, you know, high profile music gigs. And I'm working hard on writing my book and doing all this other stuff and getting ready for the TV stuff. And this was just like getting together in the studio, goofing off, playing guitar, singing some like New Orleans style music. And it just kind of came to be. So yeah, it's called Swamp Thing, and it's old school kick you in the teeth, rock funk stuff. It's a blast.
So, okay. You've got a New York Times bestselling book. You got a TV show. You got your music thing. You got your Swamp Things, your music thing. Nude modeling, is that coming up next? Like what's up next?
I'll meet you halfway. Just Google my name. You'll see me halfway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that one shot. Nice airbrushing, by the way. I've never seen someone with 16 ribs in their abs. I know you did something. No, I'm kidding.
It's the wild diet, baby.
No, not at all. You've always looked ripped. But like, what's next? What are you going to do?
I'm always looking for gigs, Dave.
Always looking for gigs.
I mean, honestly, I love to follow just the little breadcrumbs of life. Yeah. Weird adventures have always been something that I've loved to do. And I'm trying to check a lot of boxes, get our wiggles out before we get old and boring like you and have kids.
Old and boring like me? I think I heard you say old and boring like me there, Abel. I'm making that my ringtone, by the way. Every time you call me and say, before you get old and boring.
But you know, I'm just always ready for the next adventure. If anyone who's listening has any ideas, hit me up.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe you should become like a sculptor or a painter, and you can like do the trifecta thing. I don't know, but
I'll consider that. Maybe with a little bit more biohacking.
There we go. There's this thing. It's a great biohack. It's called paint by numbers. I do it all the time. All right, Abel, do you do adult coloring? Serious question.
Adult coloring.
Do you know what this is?
No. Define adult coloring.
You're missing out, man. So this is a big...
As you know, I'm very much out of the loop.
Oh, yeah. No, you and I are both kind of out of the loop together. I'm with you there. I don't follow popular culture. In fact, I had dinner...
For the Kardashians.
I had dinner the other night in LA with this group of about a dozen people. And you know, the rule was you're not allowed to say what you do for a living. At the end of the dinner, you have to guess what everyone does. And they were like...
Oh, cool.
Five major TV celebrities there, including like Adam Savage from MythBusters and Jennifer, the woman who plays the doctor on House, and all these people. I didn't know any of them were at all. Right, so I'm having dinner with these people like happily, and they're like they all know who each other are. I'm like, man, I'm like the least cool person here. So I'm with you there, and I forgot where I was going with this whole line of questioning because you distracted me with
adult coloring.
All right, here we go. So, but the one thing I picked up probably from Facebook and then from my wife is adult coloring. And what this is there's these people making adult coloring books. In fact, my friend Morgan sent me one of hers. And you just get like crayons or colored pencils and you color in an adult coloring book. And that's what you do.
Okay. I can see why that would be awesome. Honestly, you know, work with me for a second. You know, one of the things that I do, especially if I'm interviewing all day or I need to be performing at a high level is, you know this, because I've spoken about it at your conferences.
Yeah.
I keep guitars around, pianos around, anything that can switch into right brain.
Yes.
You know, that will allow you to basically just hit the reset button.
Yeah.
A lot of times it can get rid of the stress. It gets rid of that all those loops that are running throughout your head all day,
yep.
that stuff that's kind of buzzing around. It allows you to get rid of that. It's a state change. I can see that working. I prefer the guitar to coloring books, but I can see why that would be cool. Have you tried it?
You know, I have. And one of the things that's really important, in fact, one of the things that I've trained is called the default mode network. So you have this active mode network, which is what your brain does when you're doing something, when you're focused on something. And we used to believe until about like probably 7 years ago that you were either in active mode or in default mode, which is when you're not doing anything. Your brain still does something, yeah. but it's doing the default mode stuff. It's sort of like when your computer doesn't have anything to do, it defrags its hard drive, stuff like that. So what they found out was it's actually a sliding switch. So you're always a little bit in default mode and always a little bit in active mode. It's just a question of how much. So
yeah.
now that we have Facebook, now that we have alerts popping up all the time and all these distractions and constant music streaming, just you never get a break. Your brain's in active mode way too much of the time. And if you could do anything that switches you back to default mode, and for you, it's music. For someone else, it might be doodling or going for a walk without your phone. The whole nature walk thing, a lot of that is actually about going into default mode. So my wife got me an adult coloring book for Christmas, and I'm like, this is great. I've colored exactly like a quarter of one picture in it because, well, I have kids, and as soon as you do anything, they interrupt you anyway. But
you can just get them to do it for you.
Exactly. Oh, we have to photocopy it so they can color it over and over. But it's cool because it's like mandalas and like very intricate things, and you get in there with a little colored yeah. pencil. But that really does turn on your default mode. And as soon as I turn on my default mode, because I've trained it that way, like all the good ideas start just coming out. So like I have new product names and just things I've been meaning to do, like stuff that was just waiting for a period to come out. That's where intuition comes from. Like that's where creativity comes from. So you've got your guitar and that's cool.
Yeah. And anything that you can do, I think it's a symptom actually. And maybe I do recognize those because I think I saw those on like the Amazon bestseller.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It's a huge trend. I had no idea. I opened it at Christmas. I'm like, a coloring book? Really? Gee, thanks. Right. That was my response.
But if anything, I think it's a symptom of how desperate we yeah. are as a society and culture for something like that. That a lot of people, you look back at our parents' generation, or certainly our grandparents' generation, they went fishing. They fixed cars. They went for walks. There were times of silence.
Yeah.
You had to wait for a dial tone on the phone. there were lots of moments throughout the day where we had that little switch of silence.
Yeah.
Everything was cool. We don't get that anymore. Everything's buzzing and blooping at us, and we're hyper-connected. So I think the fact that adult coloring books are so popular right now is a symptom of the fact that we need to be a little bit more honest with ourselves about what it means to be human, what it means to be in a good state throughout the day. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that we need to down-regulate every once in a while. We need to take those little breaks. We need to go for that walk. We need to experience nature as well.
So I'm a full supporter of adult coloring. I do think that your next act, Abel, is the fat burning coloring book. It's just pages and pages of close-ups of bacon, and you can fill in the colors. I tell you, this is your second bestseller. It's coming.
So anyone who's listening, you guys all know what I'm doing next. They've nailed it.
It's always fun to get to hang out with you and also to get to have a show with you. And I do want to dig a little bit more in. So and you've been on the show a couple times before, so longtime listeners definitely know of you and of your work and all. And we've gotten kind of deep on some science stuff before. One thing, though, I noticed that's different. I'm wearing my Rockstar sunglasses. And mm-hmm. I introduced you to Helen Irlen a while back.
You did.
And you had some Irlen lenses. And for people listening who haven't heard me talk about this before, these are special glasses that are tinted to remove colors that my brain has a hard time processing. So I have a lot more energy. And I'm sitting here underneath our studio lights that look good, but they're really bright. And like, I'm going to feel great at the end of the day because I wear my glasses, even though I look a little weird. Abel normally wears glasses, which make him look even more like a rock star than he already does. Maybe a bit more like Zoolander, but I'm cool either way, man. Just kidding.
I'll go with Zoolander.
And then, but you're not wearing them today. So what happened?
I'm not wearing them today. Somebody actually sat on them in front of me. And you know that having, you know, color corrected glasses like that, especially from Erlen, they're not necessarily easy.
No, they're hard.
that first like psychological torture that you go through for hours and hours on end, that was not something I was ready for. Or to go through, but I got the lenses. They were freaking awesome. I just need to reorder some at this point because seeing them, it happens all the time, right? Like your favorite glasses, yeah. No matter what they are, they get crushed eventually. And so that's one of the, okay, here's one of the problems with being homeless for around 2 years is not having a physical address
right. That's
predictable makes it hard to actually like get things like that. So the good news is that we're very soon moving back to Austin, Texas. And I can't wait to have steady internet again.
Nice.
Because it's been hard to do all of this stuff while we've been traveling around the world. But we've, to a large extent, gotten a lot of our wiggles out. I think you'll be happy to hear it.
Austin's a lovely place. Yeah, I think I'm going to open up a Bulletproof coffee shop there pretty soon. So we'll take care of you.
Do. I'll play guitar.
I have so many friends in Austin, so many supporters. I love it.
That's where we met the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
Way back in the day when Dave Asprey was a nobody, we were geeking out over bacon and coffee. We made some horrible video about vegans or something like
and,
that.
I never published it. It was called Are You Paleosexual? Remember that? and it was yeah. It was a video of attractive young people saying, oh my God, I would never have sex with someone who doesn't eat meat because I want to be with someone who's fertile. Right, because and this was the counter. It was like a PETA campaign where they had these like emaciated models, like super skinny ones, going, "I would," and they're like, you could tell they're so hungry. Like, "I would never have sex with a man who ate meat." And I wanted like young, vibrant, healthy, muscular, CrossFit people. And you and Allison are just beautiful people. I'm like, all right, you guys have to be in this video. And I never published it because I actually never got around to downloading the content, and I couldn't edit it because I didn't have time. But it was a good idea to just drive home the point that people who are eating healthy food are more fertile and more attractive and have better pheromones and better hormones and all that. And you guys just fit the bill for that. So I did ask you to volunteer for that.
Well, it is so funny when you look at a lot of those conferences or whatever, certainly the Bulletproof Conference, when people lose their inflammation specifically.
Yeah.
When they lose that, and especially when they lose a little bit of fat, it's the difference between being like super attractive and being kind of like average ho-hum or whatever. You see it with actors and actresses all the time, right? Like Matt Damon is someone who just kind of swings back and forth between being this kind of like doughy informant type, which allows him to play the role really well, this to, you know, born.
Right.
Being able to do both those things is really interesting in acting. But when you look at your everyday life, sometimes you go to these conferences and you're just like, wow, this is what the 1% looks like.
Somebody wrote that at the last Bulletproof Conference. I don't think you made it to the last one, did you? You're out traveling somewhere.
No, we were filming for the TV show, remember? Yeah, I was just right. Like, Dave, I'm sorry. I can't tell you why. And I can't make this one, but
yeah,
that was why.
That's right. Well, it went from the one where you spoke, the one before was there were 500 people there. And then this one was 1,300 people. And so this year we're looking at probably 2,500. It would be a good guess.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
And so I was really impressed. And like it's there not as a profit conference. It's there like to let people experience all the good stuff and just meet each other. And if we break even, I'm like, thank God. And this one though, whoever the New York Times or one of the people was there, that they're like, everyone here is pretty and a model. And it was almost like a little bit backhanded, the comment. It was like it was staged.
Like self-selected or something. Yeah,
it's only for the pretty people kind of thing. And it's like, it's the opposite. Like, dude, I have stretch marks covering like 2/3 of my body, like big fat stretch marks, right?
We should just send them our before pictures.
Yeah, we totally should. Because, I mean, you were getting pretty chunky there too, right?
Oh my God, my big fat face. I look like...
Yeah.
I look like I ate an elf or something like that. I mean, I had that soft gut. I had that big, round, puffy face, and very pale. You know, like looking at the picture now, you don't feel like the same person. You really don't. But I think that's one of the most powerful testaments to the fact that a lot of this eating style, the style of living, really works for people. When you look around and you see everyone has that color in their face, they have bright eyes, they're with it. It's just a sign that you're in the right room, I think.
You know, the before and after pictures, you use them on the show and you have your own. My favorite one is I was in Entrepreneur magazine when I was like 22, 23, and no one thinks it's me because I have like a rash on my face and it's like super round and I'm like wearing glasses and like chins, and I look at it, I'm like, I can't believe that was in a magazine, and like it's like the worst picture ever. And I'm like laying on the floor in a double XL t-shirt that I've like manufactured, and it's just like, ugh. And then I look online and people are like, Dave Asprey is never fat. And I'm like, dude, do you see the pictures? Like, it's so funny. Because
you see your birth certificate.
Yeah. And like I was talking with Dr. Drew, who's a Bulletproof Coffee fan. And I was amazed when I first went on the show. I thought he was going to take me apart because he doesn't like supplements very much. I was like, oh no. And he's like, Dave, yeah. Bulletproof Coffee, like it changed my life. Oh my God, I love it. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
I'm like, this is amazing. But the reason I'm bringing this up, let me see, I have a good reason for bringing it up. It is the before and after. Because I went in on this show a couple years ago. And when I went in this time, after just years of this, and I've been doing more biohacks and all, and he goes, Dave, the first time I saw you, you looked like a guy who'd lost 100 pounds. And he goes, now you look like a guy who's never been 100 pounds overweight. And this is...
I think that's true. You do look different than a couple of years ago. Even hanging out personally, you look like you've been at this weight for a long time.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Abel. And I may be less aware because I do look in the mirror almost every day. And... if there's no podcast, my hair is probably standing straight up because I didn't look in the mirror, but that's cool. And so what I find is going on there is that the longer you turn off inflammation, the longer you like support collagen production in the body, and the longer you do this, I think the changes can happen over the course of years. And some of the science that I don't think we've talked about before on the show, it takes about 700 days to replace 75% of your cell membranes. Right, just to replace the fat in them because there's a cell membrane turnover in the body like that. Sure. So if you do this for a long time, okay, if the half-life is whatever, 350 days for turning this stuff over, in order to get 90 or 95% of the fat out of your cells when you're eating crap, it takes like 5 years. But man, I don't know, I'm feeling good and I am looking better than I have. And I'm amazed, but I also think that Kurt, the guy that you just completely rocked his world for, and hopefully millions of people see that show are like, oh, wait, like maybe I should think something besides exercise and low fat. So it's so like huge impact on that stuff. But it's not about losing the weight. It's not about what happens in the first 30 days, although that's important, or the first 90 or 100, or even the first 6 months or the first 2 years. It's if you do this for 5 years, you do this for 10 years, you do this for 20 years, like you end up looking more like Mark Sisson. Than you do like anyone else. And you know, I think we're both friends with Mark too, but like, dude, he looks freaking great. And he's
it's not even fair.
He's been doing it for like 20 years longer than me. I'm like, look at this guy. It's amazing.
He just gets more and more shredded every year.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's all of his primal mayo. That stuff is legit.
That's right. That stuff is really good.
Yeah, totally. Well, Abel, do you have anything that you want to tell all of the Bulletproof Nation listening to you here? Any things that we should know about the show, about the wild diet, just about what's on your mind, man? You always have good stuff to say, and this is an open mic.
I appreciate that. I don't have a rant, but I do have something that I hope is positive for people. One of the best things about working up close and personal with someone like Kurt is that he was going from 0 to 1, you know, right. It was pretty much like a binary change. But for those of you who have been listening for a long time, and maybe you've struggled to put some of this stuff into action, just take a quick look at Kurt's before and after 14 weeks, you know, take a quick look at some of the other Bulletproof and wild diet before and after pictures. And know that if you just put some of these things into action, if you actually do it every day, you can get powerful results that would shock you and shock everyone around. I you know, as much as we love talking about science, at the end of the day, for most people, they just struggle to put it into action when the rubber meets the road. So do this super boring, really unsexy things, like getting tons of sleep, you know, like having, let that be your secret weapon. Get your greens every day, drink water, do the really dumb things like that. And also don't, if you think that you have to be hungry and miserable to look good, to feel good, or to be in the best shape of your life, give that up forever. Start eating more butter. Start ditching the sugar in particular, combining those things at the same time. When you start to dial in your nutrition, and especially when you do it for a long period of time, like you, Dave, like me, you start to see that the benefits just keep adding up. So if you're on the fence and you're listening to this, just do it.
Well said, my friend. And I would highly recommend people listening, check out The Wild Diet. And Abel, you and I aren't alone here. Like, there's a whole community of people out there. There's Jimmy Moore. There's Jonathan Baylor, who wrote The Calorie Myth. David Ludwig just hit the New York Times list along with you, I think, at the same time with Always Hungry.
Yeah.
Who else should people like pay attention to? Like, who else is in the high-fat mafia? Let's just shout out to all our friends.
Gary Taubes is someone who's been there for a long time.
Yeah, why we get fat and what to do about it. Right.
Mm-hmm. We have, you know what, when I was up doing that show, they wanted to blast us the whole time for being this extreme diet, for being this thing that's trying to give people diseases. They wanted to make fools of us on national television, right? But when we were up there, it was like you could feel the power of all these people behind you, with like Mark Sisson going, raw, and Dave Asprey going like, yes, and all these other people like, bacon always wins, butter is cool. So I just want to say, if anyone watched the show, like, thank you so much for tweeting at us and keeping in touch. Because like you said, it's a community. It's not just us. Basically, a lot of the people who have been on your podcast, a lot of people who have been on my podcast, we come from a similar way of thinking, especially as it relates to fat and the importance of it in our diets. And so know that we're definitely not alone. In fact, I think our little corner of the internet is starting to take over the world. You're starting to see it pop up in mainstream all the time. And that's really good news.
It is indeed. So Abel, my friend, keep on fighting the good fight. And I got to ask you the final question, but I've already asked you twice your top three most important things for kicking more ass. So I'm going to break all the rules because that's just how I roll. Because I've never done that before. I'm feeling all exposed here.
Do it.
What are the three worst things you've done to kick more ass? And in other words, what are the three things you should absolutely not do to kick more ass? Like three massive mistakes you've made. I've never asked this one before. Wait. I just made it up, but it's a good idea.
Okay. Three mistakes that I've made to kick more ass?
No. Three things that kept you from kicking the most ass. Like, in other words, I always ask people, what should you do? I always ask the glasses half full. So with you, we're going to go to the glasses half empty. Like, what are the things you did that completely screwed up your path to progress that you had to recover from? Like things that other people can avoid.
Yeah.
Like, help me not walk into sharp things that you walked into.
Number one, being a perfectionist. Never be a perfectionist. It's so much better. Like one thing, it's a mantra that I write in my own journal every once in a while when I get freaked out. All right. I'd rather be prolific than perfect.
Yep.
And that is something that can be very powerful, especially for a lot of the type A personalities, the high performers who are listening to this. That's really powerful medicine that we all need to hear more often than we probably do. Number two, I act shy sometimes. I was always a shy kid. I think you were too. We've talked about this before. And so not letting that be something that separates you from success. You know, you still have to get out there. You need to make yourself uncomfortable. And so I'll say number three, being comfortable. When we have success, I think a lot of us are just like, well, I'll get all of the stuff in my dreams and the life of my dreams and everything will be totally cool and it'll be awesome. In fact, if you ever get to a point like that, and I hope you do, you'll realize how tremendously unfulfilling that is because you never actually arrive. There is no there. And sometimes it's best when you get into a situation like that to actually make yourself uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Like, well, what we did, you saw that happen to me and around me, Dave, who you stayed with me in that big place in Austin, driving around in Porsche, whatever, sold all that stuff, made our lives hard scrabble, living out of a trailer for a year after that, living in the woods and carrying our water, stuff like that. Sometimes real life begs for an adventure like that. So make yourself uncomfortable and make that a habit.
That sounded like a positive thing. So the thing that made you weak was
being comfortable is negative.
There you go. All right, there you go. So embracing discomfort is positive, which is the opposite of negative.
See what I did there, Dave?
I'm all confused now. Abel, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's always cool to get to hang out. I want to see you at next year's Bulletproof Conference. That'd be really cool. So let's see if we can figure out some kind of new thing for you to talk about. And I think that'd be a lot of fun. And as always, keep fighting the good fight. People, I think, already know where to find you. You're Fat Burning Man on iTunes and fatburningman.com, as well as The Wild Diet. And do you have a special URL for your book, like thewilddiet.com or something?
Wilddietbook.com.
Ah, that. It's funny how you did that. I think everyone does that Bulletproof Diet Book, Wild Diet Book. And it's right. Just because like somebody stole the Wild Diet ahead of time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, same thing happened to me, man. Pissed me off. All right. Whoever stole those things, you give them back. All right. I'm just kidding.
We've got the SEO, Dave.
All right. Fair point. And neither of us is complaining, right? We both have had a chance to help literally millions of people. So you keep doing it. And I look forward to the next time we can chat.
Dave, this was awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
If you liked today's episode, you know what to do. Head on over to Amazon, pick up a copy of Abel's book. While you're at it, pick up a copy of my book and pick up a copy of some other books that tell you all the good stuff. We just named a few of them. I'd also give a shout out to Mark Hyman, JJ Virgin, and a bunch of other just amazing friends. All of us are out there. We actually all know each other and we all meet with each other. And we're all working kind of as a secret team to get this knowledge out there. Because honestly, I want everyone driving around me to be on a high-fat diet. And it doesn't have to be the Bulletproof Diet. It can be Abel's diet. It can be any high-fat diet because they're less likely to drive into my car full of my kids. Like at a base level, this matters. And so I want you to help us get everyone eating more butter. And that's just a win for us all. And while you're at it, check out Bulletproof.com and like get some coffee too because that'd be awesome. But have more butter. All right, that's enough. I'm going to get off my butter box. Have an awesome day.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.